Welcome to the Hope United Podcast, where we're creating a culture of worship, family, and discipleship. We hope this message challenges, inspires, and gives you hope today. If you like this podcast, remember to share and subscribe.
So we've been talking about for the last couple weeks about what it looks like to be a servant leader or in Christian leadership. And to a point, to an extent, we're all asked to be leaders when we come to faith in Christ, because we are leading and we're demonstrating what it's like to be like Christ. And so the world often has a self-gratifying, selfish ambition, ladder climbing, stepping on one another type of mentality. But Jesus showed us a different way. In Scripture, leadership is built on serving others, and we're reminded that the greatest in the kingdom will be a servant. So today, we're going to continue to explore what it looks like to lead like Jesus. This series is called Leader Equals Servant. And I want to start right here in Philippians 2. In Philippians 2:3 says, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interest, but each of you the interest of others. In your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross." I love this passage, Philippians 2. It shows us that we should not do anything out of selfish ambition. If we want to be good Christians, and especially if we want to walk in Christian leadership, we have to refine this part of ourselves. We have to peel back some of these layers of selfishness that we oftentimes develop or are born with, or over time we see it and we just become that. Because selfish ambition limits how we can lead others. In the kingdom of God, it's not that God doesn't want you to win. He absolutely wants you to win. He has good plans, like we sang about, but he also wants others to win as well. So the ambition we carry cannot be selfish. It must be a kingdom ambition. Kingdom ambition asks, what does a win-win look like? I was reading a book from the Harvard Business School that was talking about how the older negotiating strategies were based off of a win-lose dynamic. How can I win while you lose? While the more modern approach, or more enlightened approach, is how can we creatively think out of the box to create a win-win solution? Of course, that idea didn't come from Harvard. That idea came from the Bible. It came from the Word of God. As kingdom ambassadors and kingdom leaders, we have to retrain ourselves to think win-win. And for that to happen, we must first remove selfish ambition. And once we've removed that selfish ambition, we can more fully step into humility. And humility gives us a different perspective. Philippians 2:3 says, "In humility, value others above yourself." And this is really one of the main points that I want us to get today, is to value others. Will you say that with me? Value others. Right? So in humility, we begin to value others. Humility causes you to see people you did not see before. One of the things that I loved when we stepped away and we took a break on the retreat, we began to see each other in a different way than we had seen each other before. How many of you experienced some growth or some maturity in your life and you saw some people in your life in a different way than you saw them before? All of a sudden, maybe you valued them in a new way. You saw gifts, you saw abilities, you saw something precious in them that you did not see before. Humility causes you to see people you did not see before. I've had that experience more than once in my life where God just opened my eyes to see the gift that somebody carried or the value behind the gift. Humility is about seeing ourselves rightly, but also seeing others rightly as well. We want to be Christ-like. We want to be Christ-like, and especially if we want to lead like Christ, we must develop the same mindset. So stripping away selfish ambition, beginning to be humble and value others, we begin to develop a Christ-like mindset. Philippians 2, 3 through 5, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interest of the others. In your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. This is important. If we want to lead well and carry a Christ-like perspective, we have to pay attention to the relational component of leadership. We cannot treat people in any kind of way and call it leadership. We remember John 3:16, for God so loved the world, or for God so loved the people, that he gave his only begotten son. So it all comes back to this relational, focused leadership dynamic. For God so loved people. And that's what brings this passage full circle. God loves people. Jesus loves people. We have to learn to love people. Love the people that we lead. The mindset of Christ is relationally focused. Yes, even if you're an administrative type of person, even if your gift is crunching the numbers, you're that type of person, remember, it all comes back to the relationships that God brings into our life, the way that we treat people. So the Christ-like mindset is relationally focused. What fueled Jesus' tenacity and strength on the cross? Yes, it was the Holy Spirit. But it was also this intense, overwhelming love for humanity. The Holy Spirit was working this intense and overwhelming love for people. And Jesus was driven by that intense love and commitment to people. We cannot attempt to follow in the footsteps of Christ or lead in a Christ-like way without that same focus on people. One of the things that we often say here in our team building meetings is that we have to lead with love. We have to lead with love. Jesus led with love. It's a great dynamic, a great perspective, a great framework to see things through. I'm going to lead my family in love, right? Or in my duties at church, I want to lead with love. Or if I have a leadership role in my business, I'm going to lead with love, because I want people to see the character of Christ really reflected through what I do, how I lead, my behavior. Scripture says in Philippians 2:5, in your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus on the cross was thinking about people. It was based in love as he laid down his life. Again, we're talking about shifting from a selfish perspective to a selfless perspective. I have many interests. I love to watch certain movies. I love certain pursuits and things. I like going out and eating at nice places. And all that's perfectly fine, but it becomes a problem if my interests consume me to the point that I miss the needs that others have around me. It's okay to have interests. It's okay to have things that you like to do. It's okay to have certain pursuits. But if those things consume you so much to the point that you miss the needs that others around you have, if I was so focused on my own interests that I missed serving my wife or serving my family, or my life would be completely out of focus. If there were a true emergency and I was nowhere to be found, because I was absorbed in my own agenda, I would be missing the mark as a leader. Too much me equals a life out of balance. Too much me equals a life out of balance. Paul challenges us not to be overly consumed with our own interest, but to be genuinely aware and concerned about the interest of others. Philippians 2:4, not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of the others. Who are the others? Brothers and sisters in Christ, those that have not come to faith but are close enough to you to be able to allow you to shine the light. What are those needs around you? We live in an incredibly self-centered culture. It's so easy to get pulled into our own bubble and never pop our head up and look beyond to see the needs and the goals of those around us. But a kingdom mentality, a Christian mentality, a leadership mentality says, I can see your needs as clearly as I can see my own needs, right? Love your neighbor as you love yourself, right? So it's okay to love yourself, and you need to know how to love yourself, because if you don't love yourself, you won't know how to love your neighbor. So to have a healthy, you're not despising yourself or hating yourself. No, I love me. God created me. I believe I'm a gift to many people. I can appreciate myself, and I love myself, but this helps me to have a measurement for how to love others. So I'm going to love others. If I really despise myself, if I have a low appreciation or I'm talking myself down all the time, how can I know how to treat others? But if I love what God is doing in me, then I can love what God is doing in you. And I can love my neighbor as myself, and I can be as concerned about your interests as my interest. I can be as concerned about your kingdom purpose as I am about my kingdom purpose. I can be as concerned about your goals that God has given you as the goals that God has given me. The kingdom, amen, is about seeing others as well as you see yourself. The kingdom is about seeing others as well as you see yourself. If we look at leadership from a kingdom perspective, we're not going to abuse people. We're not going to abuse power. Jesus spoke to this, right? Godly leaders don't do that. And Paul says this about Jesus, and this is really powerful, in Philippians 2:6, who being the very nature of God, talking about Jesus, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. So Jesus, watch this, being the very nature of God, did not leverage his immense divine power to advantage himself. He used his immense, divine, immeasurable, infinite power to advantage others. Godly leadership uses its gifts, networks, and open doors not to benefit itself, but to benefit others. What gift do you have that you could be a benefit to someone else? What ability, what open door do you have? Who within your network could you use to open up a door to be a blessing to someone else? It said Jesus didn't use his own divinity. He didn't use his equality with God. He did not use his immeasurable power to benefit himself. He went around healing others. He went around blessing others. There are leaders people love to follow. Has anyone ever followed a leader that they just were about people? They gave themselves away to others. Constantly doing things for others. Paul tells us that is exactly how it's supposed to be. That's exactly how it's supposed to be done. That's how Jesus modeled it. He took on the nature of a servant. He put the towel around his waist as an illustrated sermon. He took his incredible ability to benefit you and me. He didn't have to humble himself. He chose to humble himself. And that's leadership. So I want you to ask yourself today, what gifts, what abilities, what strengths do I have that I could be a blessing to others? What do I possess that I could leverage to serve others? Is there something you've been using exclusively for yourself that God may be calling you to redirect to be a blessing to others? What favor, what open doors, what influence do you carry that could become a blessing to someone else? True leadership asks, how can I serve? Godly leadership asks, how can I be a blessing? Jesus said in Matthew 20:28, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many. Who of us is willing to change our perspective, not from one that says, how can I be served, but how can I serve others? We're following in the footsteps of Jesus, not to be served, but to serve. Jesus said, the greatest among you is going to be a servant. It's an upside down type of approach. The world looks at it totally different. Kingdom looks at it, the greatest is a servant. The greatest knows how to serve others. The greatest isn't so concerned about serving themselves. This is what greatness looks like. And he made it clear that he was the greatest servant. He's the greatest in the kingdom because he's the greatest servant. The servant of servants was Jesus. And the call to serve others, that's what leadership looks like. The more we serve, the better leaders we become. The more we serve others, even if you don't see yourself as a leader, the more you serve others, you are leading because you're shining the light of Jesus. You're leading others into a relationship with Jesus by shining the light. When we serve others, we give others a glimpse of what Jesus was all about. Servant equals leader. Leader equals servant. My heart is that God would shift our perspective. In a selfish world, in a selfish culture, that we would look to serve, not to be served. We would see that in our Christian walk, in our calling. We look at it through a different lens. The lens of serving one another. The lens of serving those outside the four walls. It's the Jesus way. It's the way he modeled. He's the way he taught. How can we lead others? By serving them. Would you bow your head with me for a moment? Let's pray together. God, I thank you for the tremendous example that you gave us in Jesus, who came and was the greatest leader that walked the face of the earth. And he modeled servanthood. He put on a towel. He washed feet. He used his immeasurable power to serve mankind. He was the servant of all. God, teach us how to be the servant of some. Teach us how to walk in the footsteps of Jesus. Help us to wake up with this daily question. How can I serve? How can I serve the Lord? How can I serve others in a way that glorifies the Lord? What a powerful thought. What a leadership thought. What a thought that opens doors for us to shine more of the light of Jesus. God, give us the heart of a servant. Give us a kingdom mindset. Give us the mindset of Christ. With all the power and all the prestige at his disposal, he took off his elegant robe, put on the towel of a servant. Teach us to do that. Let us walk that out. And as heads are bowed and eyes are closed, maybe you say, Pastor, I'm not where I need to be with Jesus. I feel like I've kind of drifted in my relationship, but I want to reconnect with him. Or maybe you say, Pastor, I'm not sure if I ever really said yes, really committed to Jesus, but I want to do that today. If either of those are you, just slip up your hand. I want to pray with you right where you are. Amen. Amen. There's something so powerful about saying yes to Jesus, whether it's yes for the first time or it's yes, Jesus, I know I need to reconnect with you today. If either of those are you, just slip up your hand. Amen. Amen. If you lifted your hand, I want you to say this prayer, and everybody that agrees with this, you can say this prayer with us. Jesus, thank you for your love. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. Thank you for serving me by laying down your life. I'm thankful for what you did. And I'm sorry for the times I've walked away, for the times I've drifted, for the sins I've committed. I need you to apply your perfect work that you did on the cross. Wipe away my sins. Give me a fresh start today. I need you to lead me, to guide me, so I can live a life like you that pleases the Father. Help me do that. Put people around me that will encourage me. Remove the influences and distractions that would distract me from a faith that pleases you. In Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Come on, let's give God the praise today. Wow. Wow, that's awesome. I love it. That's powerful. And I want to encourage you, take one step forward, one step farther. Join a hope group. One of the greatest ways we grow is in community. And it's not the only way we do community here, but I think it's one of the best ways we do community is our hope group. So if you really want to grow and have some encouragement, have some people pray with you, have some people go through the scriptures with you, hope group is a great place to do that. You can find those opportunities on the website or on the Hope United app. Or you can just ask one of the team leaders, one of these people that got a shirt on here to help. They can help you with that. But I want to encourage you and tell you, God is proud of you. When you step in the direction of him, God is pleased. And I'll leave you with this thought. If God is for you, who can be against you? And if Jesus is in your corner, you will be undefeated. God bless you.
Thanks again for listening. If you like this podcast, remember to share and subscribe. For more information or to connect with us, go to hopeunited.church. And remember, if God is with you, you will be undefeated.